colors unless you're very patient. Even under controlled laboratory conditions, cats do not learn how to differentiate between two colors until after making over 1,400 attempts. These experiments showed researchers that though cats technically have the ability to tell the difference between two colors, they don't use that ability in their daily lives. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, Colts defensive end Dwight Freeney says he's feeling less pain from a torn ligament in his right ankle, and he hopes to play against New Orleans in Sunday's Super Bowl. He and rookie cornerback Jared Powers sat out yesterday. Powers has a left foot injury. A pair of Horizon League games tops tonight's college basketball schedule. Illinois-Chicago hosts Cleveland State, and Loyola of Chicago is home against Youngstown State. Illinois improves to 7-3 in the Big Ten with a 57-49 win at Iowa last night. The Illini women are in action tonight at Purdue. The St. Louis Blues are back home against another of the NHL's top teams. They're hoping to build on last night's road win in Chicago with a strong showing tonight against the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks lead the Western Conference standings and have won six straight road games. And the Chicago Bears have interviewed San Francisco 49ers assistant Shane Day as they search for a new quarterback's coach. Day worked with new Bears offensive coordinator Mike Martz with the 49ers in 2008. He was on the Michigan coaching staff with tight ends coach, the new tight ends coach for Chicago, Mike DeBoard. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Yoga Institute of Champaign-Urbana, offering beginner-level instruction in Iyengar yoga and special classes for men, women, teens, seniors, knees, low back, neck, shoulders, and plus sizes. New classes start the first week of February. Information at 344-YOGA or on the web at yoga-cu.com.
It's 2:42. Police still don't know why a 19-year-old man entered the Farm King store in Macomb yesterday and began shooting. But they're beginning to release more information about the ordeal, which lasted roughly 7 hours. Illinois Public Radio's Alex Degman reports.
The first 911 call came from Farm King at around 12:45, when an estimated 50 to 100 people were inside the store.
McDonough County 911, what's your emergency?
I've got a gentleman in Farm King with a gun. I need someone here right now. I'm the store manager. Now.
Okay, where is he in the store, sir?
In the sporting goods. Now. He's loading a gun now.
Okay, has he made threats of some sort?
No, he's got a gun. He's loading it now.
Okay, hang on. Do not hang up the phone with me, okay? Macomb Unit, Farm King calling, subject with a 1032 in sporting goods.
Macomb Police Chief Kurt Barker says Jonathan LeBay entered the store with an unloaded semi-automatic rifle.
We're estimating approximately 23 rounds were fired. 16 of those were fired at officers out the door, the front entrance to the building.
Where are you at right now, sir?
I'm in the store right now.
Okay, and you're clearing the store?
Oh, my God, he's shooting now. He's shooting everybody. Okay.
Macomb Unit, shots fired. Shots fired. County Unit, shots fired. Shots fired. Okay, sir.
Barker says when purchasing ammunition from Farm King, an employee unlocks the case to get the requested items, then asks for ID. The information is sent to customer service for processing. Police believe this is when LeBay took the ammunition. He did not have a gun owner's card. Most of the customers and employees quickly left the store once shots were fired, but there were a total of 8 people trapped inside. 2 talked to police via cell phone and told officers where they were.
Another employee with me. Back in our layaway room.
In the what room?
Layaway room. It's a locked room.
Okay.
You have to go through 2 doors to get to it.
Okay.
We do have an emergency exit out the front of the building. It's towards High B.
Uh-huh.
There's an emergency exit out there. Can we go out that door?
Okay.
The dispatcher then instructed the caller to contact an officer on the scene for further instructions. Chief Barker says his team had a schematic of the building and directed the 2 people to the nearest exit. The other 6 people remained inside the store for a couple more hours. 3 of them were employees, 3 were customers, one of whom is a child. Barker says no one was taken hostage at any time.
The other individuals were inside of an office. We redirected them to a secure office. And at that time, the tactical response team entered the building and moved to those offices and then escorted each one of the employees out.
Around sunset, teams sent in a remote-controlled tactical robot to survey and secure the store. It discovered LeBay's body. Police don't know when he died. Barker says he's been speaking with LeBay's mother, who he describes as extremely distraught. Barker says she knew her son was going to Farm King, and when she heard the first radio announcements about a shooter in the store, she thought it might be him. Barker says LeBay's mother continued to remind him of the good things her son accomplished in his life.
One incident, he helped us catch an individual, and we actually gave him a Citizens Award. He was a member of Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Barker says LeBay helped officers chase down and detain a suspect in a drug-related case. LeBay also spent time volunteering at the McDonough County Animal Shelter.
There is no motive. Everyone's just speculating. There was nothing. He never made any comments, didn't leave a note or anything like that to tell us why he was doing what he was doing.
The investigation into the Macomb Farm King shooting continues. The store will remain closed until it's finished. Barker could not say how long the investigation might last. He says surveillance video from inside the store is not available. I'm Alex Degman.
It's 2:46. Switzerland and Germany are involved in a major banking dispute. It involves cross-border tax evaders, banking secrecy laws, and stolen data. Germany wants to catch tax cheats who are keeping their money in Swiss banks, and it has used pilfered data to do its sleuthing. And that has the Swiss crying foul. From Berlin, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
2 years ago, German authorities bought stolen information on bank clients in the tiny Alpine principality of Liechtenstein from an informant. That helped German authorities collect several hundred million euros from tax evaders. Germany's now set to try to do the same with bank data from Switzerland, famous for its massive private banking industry. The Swiss are outraged. Lawmaker Pirmin Bischoff called it a new form of bank robbery. The Swiss finance minister on Wednesday said the country wanted talks with Berlin on the tax issue, but not if they're based on illegally obtained data. Last year, Switzerland agreed to ease its strict rules on client privacy. Swiss courts haven't always agreed. There's an ongoing major tax dispute with the U.S. over Americans hiding money with Swiss banking giant UBS. James Nason with the Swiss Bankers Association says Germany risks undermining cooperation on lifting banking secrecy if Berlin persists with what he calls skullduggery and dirty dealing.
These negotiations have been going on to set up these legal procedures to handle such incidents, requests for information in tax matters. And at the same time, Switzerland has been stabbed in the back by this offer to reward a criminal, you know, for the data that he has stolen from a Swiss bank.
But one government's thief may be another's whistleblower. It's estimated that German citizens have some 100 billion euros in Swiss bank accounts. The government thinks it might be able to collect the equivalent of nearly $300 million from tax cheats. A German finance ministry spokesman cited the Liechtenstein case as precedent and strongly suggested the government is determined to buy the data. German Chancellor Angela Merkel this week indicated as much.
Just like any reasonable person, I am naturally in favor of punishing tax evasion. In order to do this, everything should be done to get a hold of this data.
Now, other European countries may be lining up behind Germany. The Austrian, Dutch, and Belgian governments are now reportedly expressing interest in the tax data, even if it's obtained by less than legal means. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Berlin.
It's 2:49, 36 degrees in Urbana. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, we all know what's coming up on Sunday. In addition to thinking about the game, many of us may be thinking about food. Many Super Bowl Sunday menus include pizza, nachos, and beer. NPR's Linda Wertheimer was looking for some new ideas when she invited a couple of people to talk with her about expanding the menu for a Super Bowl party. Donald Link is chef and owner of two restaurants in New Orleans, Herb Saint and Cochon. He's also the author of the cookbook Real Cajun. Regina Mihalik is chef and owner of R Bistro and author of Regina's Seasonal Table.
Welcome to both of you. Hello.
Thank you.
Donald, let's start with you. What are you going to cook for Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, first I'm going to cheat a little bit and get some sausage and salami from my butcher shop just for snacks. But what I usually do with the sausage for the first part of the day is I usually just go cook it in sauerkraut, serve it with mustard, maybe some apples, some Riesling, you know, very German style.
Mm-hmm.
But the main dish that I always cook is the seafood gumbo.
So that's seafood gumbo and sausage and sauerkraut sounds like it's kind of a weird combination.
Yeah, you kind of got, you know, I always throw the Super Bowl party, and my parents did when I was a kid, so it's kind of a tradition. It's an all-day thing. So you have the daytime event with the pre-show, and that's where we do the sausages and the beer. That's kind of the snack portion, and then that rolls into seafood gumbo, and that's where the second part of the crew comes over for the actual game part.
Regina, I know you specialize in using fresh local ingredients in your restaurant. So what kind of Indiana food goes into the Super Bowl meal?
Well, I did some thought and careful consideration and definitely thought of we should have blue popcorn because corn is popular here in Indiana.
I always thought Orville Redenbacher had big popcorn fields in southern Indiana at one point.
Yes, that's true. Yes, he started here. And so one of the things that are famous here in Indiana is a breaded pork tenderloin sandwich. And it's classically served with tomato, onion, and pickle.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a pounded pork tenderloin, and you panko crust it and fry it and then serve it with those condiments. And it is pretty yummy.
So it's sort of like pork chop Milano, sort of, kind of?
Yes, that's true, yes. And then in that same vein of using some local food items, here in Indiana, we're the largest producers of duck, so maybe some duck wings done the classic way that chicken wings would be done.
Hmm. Now, so. Don, you talk about the Super Bowl in your cookbook, Real Cajun, and you describe a big family event, a multi-generational thing. How many people come? What's it like?
Oh, wow. The parties, you know, they're a little tamer. Well, this one in particular, because the Saints are in it, is not going to be quite the barn burner they usually are. Because this one is, I want to sit down. I don't want to be distracted. Actually going to watch the game. Whereas in the past, we can get up to 30 people at our Super Bowl parties, maybe 40. And some of those cycle through. And in my younger days, not that I'm old, but in my 20s, we used to always play football. That was a big part of our day. You know, so we'd eat and snack and then go out and tackle each other and play football in the yard. And then but then we'd all kind of settle down, you know, and the drinking's settled down quite a bit, too, in the last few years.
Well, I understand that that you had to do some post-Katrina repairing in your house, and you remodeled with the Super Bowl in mind. Is that true?
we started that before the hurricane. We had almost just finished this renovation when our house flooded.
Oh, great.
But it was, you know, because every year we have so many people over for the Super Bowl, and we want to make sure that everybody has a real good vantage point to the TV and be close to the food. So the design, when we redesigned our new house, we designed it with a huge wraparound counter with lots of bar seats, and then the dining room off that, and then the living room kind of at an angle. If you're, you know, we actually stood where the stove was going to go and lined it up to where the TV would be, just to make sure that we had the broadest view of the TV, and that and the whole thing was purely just for that day.
Regina, what about the restaurant? Have you are you working on anything that's special to the Colts or gives some kind of a nod to this event?
We have lots of blue things at the restaurant. Well, I have blue flowers in my flower arrangements. We got cadet blue napkins for the table for dinner service this week. We have flags hanging up. One of my staff is making Colts blue ties for all my front of the house people to wear. I mean, everybody is just in the spirit.
Don, this is obviously huge for New Orleans to have the Saints in the Super Bowl finally.
Finally.
I guess this is a big lift for the Big Easy.
Yeah, it's this is, I am getting kind of chills just about to say it, but with Mardi Gras this weekend and the Saints in the Super Bowl, I mean, this is a fantastic time to be here. I remember I was on my layover yesterday. I called my wife and, you know, said, you know, I'm on my way. And she goes, well, you're coming back to a great, great fun city right now. She said the city's charged up and people are happy and there'll be parades this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, what a good thing for this city.
Indiana has not exactly been unscathed by this recession, Regina. Are you feeling that Super Bowl mania is coming to you as well?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There have been so many pep rallies and gatherings and people dressed in blue and white clothes. I even have my Super Bowl Colts shirt on right now. And it's just, you know, this is a big sports city, and everybody is all out excited. This is just a happy time. It's bringing people together. Lots of people on the street are saying hello and go Colts. So we're pretty excited.
Well, good luck to both of you on Sunday.
Thanks.
And thank you very much for joining us. Regina Mihalik is chef and owner of Our Bistro in Indianapolis, and Donald Link is chef and owner of Herb Saint Restaurant in New Orleans. You can find recipes from both of them on NPR.org.
And that was NPR's Linda Wertheimer. It's 2:56 Central Time.
Earth and Sky.
We have these big unknowns about just the overall construction of the universe, and I hope we get some answers.
You're listening to astrophysicist David Schlegel. He's the principal investigator of the Baryon Oscillation Spectroscopic Survey, or BOSS, project. Over the next 5 years, BOSS will map over 1 million galaxies to reveal what Schlegel called the large-scale structure of the universe.
We see structures on very, very large scales, and there are features in these structures. And some of those features date back to the very early universe. And in particular, one of those features is the propagation of sound waves from when the universe was very young.
Schlegel said that just moments after the cosmic Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago, all light and matter in the universe were coupled together as one hot, soupy plasma.
It was just this plasma of protons and electrons and photons. And sound waves could propagate in that medium at something close to the speed of light.
Schlegel said that the universe's first sound waves imprinted themselves into everything and shaped the distribution of galaxies. The BOSS project will map millions of galaxies using a ruler on the scale of 500 million light years. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Thanks to the more than 300 donors who called in pledges of support during our three-day mini-drive. Your contributions raised over $34,000 to support the programs you enjoy on WILL. We'd also like to thank Common Ground Food Co-op, who contributed the cost of 3 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge made to WILL.
Let's take a look now at the weather forecast for Illinois and Indiana. Topping the forecast, some advisories, a winter weather advisory for snow will be in effect for portions of southwestern Illinois from 6 p.m. this evening to 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, and for portions of west central Illinois from midnight tonight to 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Winter storm watch in effect across central into portions of southern Indiana from late tonight through Saturday.